After the church services, the Averys returned home with us for Christmas dinner. All 8 of the Avery children, including the 4 preschoolers, crowded into the kitchen with the boys and me, smelling the delicious aromas and awaiting the call to eat. But only the eldest girls, who were helping Mama, Big Ma, and Mrs. Avery prepare the finishing touches to the meal, were allowed to remain. The rest of us were continuously being shooed out by Big Ma. Finally, the announcement we were all waiting for was made, and we were allowed to begin the Christmas feast. The meal lasted for over 2 hours through firsts, seconds, and thirds, talk and laughter, and finally dessert. When we were finished, the boys and I, with Claude and TJ, went outside, but the half-inch layer of snow made everything sloppy, so we soon went back in and joined the adults by the fire. Shortly afterward, there was a timid knock on the front door. Stacy opened the door and found Jeremy Sims standing there, looking frozen and very frightened as he peered into the bright room. Everyone turned to stare at him. Stacy glanced around at Papa, then back at Jeremy. You want to come in? He asked awkwardly. Jeremy nodded and stepped hesitantly inside. As Stacy motioned him toward the fire, Uncle Hammer's eyes narrowed, and he said to Papa, "He looks like a Sims." "I believe he is," agreed Papa. "Then what the devil? Let me handle it," Papa said. Jeremy, who had heard, flushed a deep red and quickly handed Mama a small burlap bag. I brung them for y'all." Mama took the bag. As she opened it, I peeked over her shoulder. The bag was full of nuts.
"Nuts?" I questioned. "Nuts? Why, we got more nuts now than we know what..."
"Cassie," Mama scowled, "what have I told you about that mouth of yours?" Then she turned to Jeremy. "This is very thoughtful of you, Jeremy, and we appreciate them. Thank you." Jeremy nodded slightly, as if he didn't know how to accept her thanks, and stiffly handed a slender, paper-wrapped object to Stacy. "Made this for you," he said. Stacy looked at Papa to see if he should take it. For a long moment, Papa studied Jeremy. Then he nodded.
It ain't much," stammered Jeremy, as Stacy tore off the wrapping. "Made it myself."
Stacy slid his fingers down the smooth, sanded back of a wooden flute.
"Go ahead and try it," said a pleased Jeremy. "It blows real nice."
Again, Stacy looked at Papa, but this time Papa gave him no indication what he should do.
"Thanks, Jeremy, it's real nice," he said finally.
Then, flute in hand, he stood uncomfortably by the door waiting for Jeremy to leave. When Jeremy didn't move, Papa asked, "You Charlie Sims's boy?" Jeremy nodded.
Yes, sir.
"Your daddy know you're here?" Jeremy bit his lower lip and looked at his feet.
No, sir, I reckon not."
"Then I expect you'd better be getting on home, son, before he come looking for you."
"Yes, sir," said Jeremy, backing away.
As he reached the door, I cried after him, "Merry Christmas, Jeremy!" Jeremy looked back and smiled shyly. "Merry Christmas to y'all, too." TJ made no comment on Jeremy's visit until both Papa and Uncle Hammer had left the room. He was afraid of Papa and downright terrified of Uncle Hammer, so he never had much to say when either was around. But now that they had gone outside with Mr. Avery, he said,
"You ain't gonna keep that thing, are you?"
Stacy looked malevolently at TJ, and I knew that he was thinking of the coat.
"Yeah, I'm gonna keep it. Why?"
TJ shrugged.
"Nothing, except I sure wouldn't want no whistle some old white boy been blowing on."
I watched Stacy closely to see if he was going to allow himself to be goaded by TJ. He wasn't.
"Ah, stuff it, TJ," he ordered.
"Oh, man, don't get me wrong," said TJ quickly. "You want to keep the old thing, it's up to you. But for me, somebody give me something, I want it to be something fine, like that pretty little pearl-handled pistol." When the Averys had left, Stacy asked, "Papa, how come Jeremy give me this flute? I mean, I didn't give him nothing."
"Maybe you did give him something," said Papa, lighting his pipe.
"No, sir, Papa. I ain't never give him nothing."
"Not even your friendship?"
"Well, not really. I mean, he's a crazy kid, and he likes to walk to school with us, but..."
"You like him?"
Stacy frowned, thinking.
"I told him I didn't want him walking with us, but he keeps on anyway. And the white kids laugh at him 'cause he do. But he don't seem to let it bother him none. I suppose I like him all right. Is that wrong?"
"No," Papa said carefully. "That ain't wrong."
"Actually, he's much easier to get along with than TJ," Stacy went on. "And I suppose if I let him, he could be a better friend than TJ."
Papa took the pipe from his mouth, rubbed his mustache, and spoke quietly.
"As far as I'm concerned, friendship between black and white don't mean that much, 'cause it usually ain't on an equal basis. Right now, you and Jeremy might get along fine, but in a few years, he'll think of himself as a man, but you'll probably still be a boy to him. And if he feels that way, he'll turn on you in a minute."
"But, Papa, I don't think Jeremy'd be that way."
Papa's eyes narrowed, and his resemblance to Uncle Hammer increased.
"We Logans don't have much to do with white folks. You know why? 'Cause white folks mean trouble. You see blacks hanging around with whites, they're headed for trouble. Maybe one day whites and blacks can be real friends, but right now, the country ain't built that way. Now, you could be right about Jeremy making a much finer friend than TJ ever will be. The trouble is, down here in Mississippi, it costs too much to find out. So I think you'd better not try."
Stacy looked full into Papa's face and read his meaning. On my way to bed, I stopped by the boys' room to retrieve an orange Christopher John had swiped from my stocking and spied Stacy fingering the flute. As I stood in the doorway, he lingered over it, then, carefully rewrapping it, placed it in his box of treasured things. I never saw the flute again. The day after Christmas, Papa summoned Stacy, Christopher John, Little Man, and me into the barn. We had hoped against hope that Mama wouldn't tell him about our trip to the Wallace store, or, if she did, that he would forget what he had promised. We should have known better. Mama always told Papa everything, and Papa never forgot anything. After we had received our punishment, we emerged sore and teary-eyed and watched Papa, Uncle Hammer, and Mr. Morrison climb into the Packard and speed away. Mama said they were going to Vicksburg.
"Why Vicksburg, Mama?" asked Stacy.
"They got some business to attend to," she said shortly.
"Come on now, get busy. We got chores to do."